Hello and welcome back to our very first lesson of the Reaching for the Hem course on developing spiritual intimacy with God. We're talking about reconnecting with your first love, and we are in part two of that lesson, so we're just going to continue on from where we left off. In our last lesson, in the last half of this lesson, we stopped when we were talking about the fact that Jesus died so that you could have access to Emmanuel, so that you could have access to God being with you. And so that's where we're going to start this lesson, the second half of this lesson. God is with you. Whether you feel him with you or not, he said that he won't leave you or forsake you. So it's just a matter of faith. It's a matter of believing him at his word that he is with you. You know, Satan's goal, Satan is, you know, he's been around for a pretty long time, okay? He's not as dumb as we sometimes want to believe that he is. And he has a systematic goal and a systematic plan. And so as Christians and as believers and children of his enemy, because that's what you are a child of the devil's enemy. The devil does not like you. Okay, I want everybody to understand this. You know, it sounds silly for me to say that, but sometimes we forget that we are fighting against a very real enemy who does not like us and who has a very specific goal. Okay, and I'm not going to get that into this aspect of it very much right now, but not only does he have a very specific goal, but he can use us against ourselves as he accomplishes that goal by speaking lies into our minds and us accepting those lies as truth, or beginning to roll them over and over in our minds and thinking on them as truth, and they're not truth at all. And so that kind of goes back into what we were talking about earlier in this lesson, in part one of the lesson, of choosing: are we going to believe what it says in the word, or are we going to believe what that little voice is telling us? And we have to recognize that little voice is a tool of the enemy. Okay, that is not always your carnal mind speaking. Sometimes it is actually Satan speaking to you, trying to do what he did to Eve and distract you and convince you that God's word is a lie, when in fact what he's saying to you, what Satan is saying to you, is a lie. But Satan's goal, he has a very systematic and very distinct goal. His goal is for you to be filled with a sense of abandonment. He does not want you to feel like God is with you. His goal is for you to be filled with a sense of abandonment, for you to feel like you've been left to go through your days all alone. Wow. You know, we are made in the image of God, and God is a triune God. That means he's a Trinity. He's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all in such perfect relationship that they are one being. Okay? So when you think about that, God at his very essence is a God of relationship. And we are made in his image. We are made in the image of a God of relationship. So we, in and of ourselves, we are creatures of relationship. So the worst feeling in the world for us is to feel abandoned. And to feel like we're going through our life all alone. Like we don't have an ally to call upon in those dark hours when we need help. And that's what Satan wants you to feel like. He wants you to feel like you are all alone. Like you have no one to call on. You have no helper. He wants you to think that the pains and the sorrows of this world are yours alone to bear. You know, Jesus said, "Cast your cares upon me." But he wants you to feel like you're carrying all of your cares yourself. That's what Satan wants. But God is with you. You know, I'm saying that again because I want that to get into your spirit and I want it to renew your mind. God is with you. Why? Why does Satan want you to feel that way? Because it leaves you powerless against his attacks. Because when he tries to bring depression, and when he tries to bring fear, and when he tries to bring he tries to tear apart your family. He tries to tear apart your finances. And when there's been a tragedy, all of those things. Now, when he comes with all of his attacks, you have no ally because you believe you have no ally. So as long as he can get you to believe that God's not with you, you will act upon that belief. You know, whatever our beliefs are, we act upon those beliefs. And so if I believe that God's with me, I'm going to act upon that. I'm going to call on him. I'm going to pray. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to connect with him because I'm acting upon that belief. But at the same time, if I believe that he's not with me, that I'm in this all by myself, then I'm going to act on that belief. And I'm not going to reach out to him. And I'm not going to access the power that God's given to me through the Holy Spirit to kick Satan's butt. So Satan doesn't want you to have that intimacy with God. He wants you to feel abandoned. He wants you to feel alone. It leaves the part of you that was created for intimate communion with a loving God feeling totally empty. You know, God created a God-sized hole inside of each of us that only he can fill. And people try to fill it with so many things. That's one of the reasons that people fall into drugs. And I know I myself, you know, if you've read any of my testimony, I had an issue with marijuana when I was younger. And one of the reasons that I smoked marijuana was because it gave me a sense of peace. And that part of me that needed to commune with a holy God was looking for anything I could grab onto. And it was a false sense of peace. It was a false sense of joy or whatever. It wasn't real. It wasn't real. And when it was very fleeting, and it will go away. And it, any type of false peace or false joy, whether it be through marijuana, whether it be through, you know, some people are workaholics, some people are alcoholics, some people are have issues with eating, and they get their peace through that. Whatever it is a false sense of peace. It's a false sense of security. And so people depend on that crutch that they have, regardless of what it is. You know, sometimes it's other people, but they depend on that crutch. And they're expecting that crush to fulfill something that only God can fulfill. Sometimes people do that with their spouses. They expect their spouse to fulfill a need that only God can fulfill. And so when their spouse doesn't fulfill that need, they think there's something wrong with their marriage. When it's not, it's that they're expecting something that a human being cannot give them, that a substance cannot give them. And that is to fill that space that God created for himself inside of you. You know, most emotional pain that we feel is us unknowingly yearning to be reunited with our long lost friend. Depression, anxiety, fear, self-doubt, you know, sometimes it's just a nameless, faceless yearning, just an ache in your heart that you can't even put a name on. You know, psychiatrists haven't even come up with a name for it. It's just this emptiness. That is you longing for more of the Lord. He will fill that empty space up. He will fill you up so full that any other types of spiritual things that are trying to attack you will just be pushed out. There will be no room for anything but him. If you take yourself to him and allow him to do that, because he is your long lost friend. But your heavenly Father promises to be that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He promises to be your friend today and every day. You know, your best friend is waiting for you to connect with you. He's not up in the heavens somewhere that you can't get to. He's right there. He said, I will come and make my home with you. He's right there where you're sitting right now. He's right there where you're sitting. He said, I will come and make my home with you. So wherever you are, that's where he is. God loves you. He loves you so much. And his desire is for a more intimate relationship with you too. Just like you're longing, and there's a place in you that's just longing, you know. I believe that everyone who's sitting here watching this video is because God's just doing something. You know, there's just something. You feel a little uncomfortable where you're at. You just feel, oh, I just feel like I need to go deeper. I feel like there's something that's pulling me. That's just pulling me to a deeper relationship with him. And you know what? His desire is for you to have that relationship with him. His desire is to have that relationship with you too. He wants to know you more. He wants you to know him more. He wants you to love him more. That's his desire for your life. And you can have that relationship with him that you've always longed for. You really can. You really can. How do I know that you can have that? Because Jesus promised that you could. And you know what? What are we practicing today? We're practicing making God's word and his promises personal. And we're practicing believing them more than we believe what's going on in our own mind. More than we believe what logic would tell us, right? We're making his word personal. We're becoming a student of his word and of his promises, because his word is not a rule book. It's a book of promise and provision. Promise and provision. That's what the Bible is. And Jesus promised that you can have a relationship with God. He promised it. Your best friend is waiting for you. He's waiting for you. If you really love me, you will keep and obey my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, a counselor, a helper, an intercessor, an advocate, a strengthener, and a standby. That way, that he may remain with you forever. Forever. Not just for a short time. You know, who is Jesus describing here? He's describing the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the comforter that came after Jesus left. So he said, if you will love me, you'll keep my commandments, and I'll ask the Father. And what'll happen when he asks the Father? The Father will give you another comforter. He will send you someone who will be your counselor, your helper, your intercessor, your advocate, your strengthener, your standby. He will be the one who meets your needs in your own personal life, and he will remain with you forever. He will not leave you. That's another promise, that he won't leave you, that the Holy Spirit won't leave you. You know, people ask, Amira, will the Holy Spirit leave me? If I make him mad, will he leave me? You know, you never want to grieve the Holy Spirit. You never want to sin against God. But as soon as you repent, it's like it never happened. That's the beauty. That's the beauty of God's redemptive power, of his grace and his ability to forgive us. It's like it never happened. The Holy Spirit is there to remain with you forever. The Holy Spirit is your best friend. He's your best friend here living on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit has been sent to commune with the children of God, to be what we need, to be your counselor when you need counsel, to be your strengthener when you need strength, to ensure you that you will never have to walk through this life alone. Why? Because you were never intended to. You were never intended to walk through life alone. God did not create you to walk through life alone. And that's why, you know, sometimes, you know, not sometimes, but anytime, when we try to do it all on our own, we feel so overwhelmed and so stressed and so anxious and so fearful. And it just feels like the whole world is crashing down on us. Why? Because we're trying to do it on our own. And we were not created with the ability to do it. It's not in you. So stop trying to find it in yourself. It's not in you. God didn't put it in you because he wanted to be your strengthener. So instead of trying to lean on yourself, reach out and lean on him. Because he's there. He's there waiting for you to do that. You know, those are the times that build that relationship with the Lord, when you're reaching out and leaning on him. And the closer you get to him, you'll realize that you need to do it, not just in the difficult times of your life, but in every area of your life. Everything. Everything. You know, you weren't intended. You weren't intended to live your life alone. And the Holy Spirit has come so that you won't have to. And he's living there. He has made his home with you. He is with you right now. Jesus said, though the people in the world can't recognize the Holy Spirit, you as a child of God can. You can recognize him. You know, if you have to do it by faith, you have to just believe. God, Jesus said that I can recognize the Holy Spirit, so I can recognize the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, you know and recognize him for he lives with you constantly and will be in you. You know and recognize the Holy Spirit because he's in you. He lives with you constantly and he's in you. And so Jesus said that you as a sheep, you'll recognize your shepherd. And so you have to believe that. And if you feel like you're having a hard time recognizing the Holy Spirit, then start speaking that scripture. I recognize him because he lives in me and he is constantly with me. And you're speaking that scripture as a confession because that's a promise that God's made to you. And so you speak that out of your mouth because you're believing. You're believing that God's word is true, that his word is more true than your outward circumstances. That takes faith. How much faith does it take to believe that his word is more true than your outward circumstances? Because faith is believing the unseen, right? It's believing the unseen. It's believing something you can't see or feel with your senses. And a lot of times it's believing it way past when you thought it would manifest itself. That's faith. And so you have to begin speaking God's promises. If you're not seeing them in your life, if you're not seeing, you know, God said that the sheep will recognize the shepherd. Well, I don't feel like I recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit. Well, that's a promise from God, so you need to start speaking that in your life. Instead of speaking, I don't hear the voice of God. Speak what God says about you instead of what Satan's saying about you. Believe what God's saying about you instead of what Satan's saying about you. Because God says to call those things that are not as though they are. To speak his word, to confess his word over your life, not Satan's word. The Holy Spirit is your best friend. That means that the Holy Spirit of God is living on the inside of you right now. He's living on the inside of you right now. He's waiting to develop that intimate relationship with him that you're seeking. He's waiting. He's waiting patiently, and you know, for some of us, he needs a lot of patience. I know for me, at different points in my life, he's had to have a lot of patience to wait on me to say, oh, maybe I should ask the Holy Spirit for help with this, because it's not going too well me trying to do it on my own, right? We all have to reach out to him, because he's already there. He's already reached out. Jesus has already done his part. Jesus has already went to the cross so that we could have God with us. So now we have to do our part and we have to reach out and receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit being with us. Building any relationship takes time and effort. You know, we talked about this earlier when we were talking about that scripture, that I may progressively become more intimate with him, that I may progressively learn more of him. It takes time and effort. And the first step is building a solid friendship with him. You know, we're all going to be, that's what I really want to focus on over the next few weeks, is going to be building a friendship with God. You know, we're talking about building intimacy in our relationship with God, but we're going to start off with building a friendship with him, because any relationship starts with a friendship, right? It starts with a friendship. So Jesus told the disciples, I no longer call you slaves, because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. He doesn't speak with us and he doesn't share things with them, right? I no longer call you slaves because the master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now I call you my friends. Hallelujah. Now I call you my friends. But what exactly is a friend? What does it mean to be a friend of God? What is a friend? Someone that you know. We all have people that we consider to be friends. We have people that we consider to be acquaintances. And our friends, we know a lot more deeply than we know our acquaintances. But our friend is someone that we know, someone that we trust, right? Those are two things. We know them. We trust them. And someone that we've spent quality time with, getting to know each other and building our relationship. That's a friend. Someone that we know, someone that we trust, and someone that we've spent time with. Over a period of time, getting to know them and letting them get to know us and building up our trust with them, building up our relationship with them. There are two keys that I want to share with you today about becoming God's friend. Two different keys about becoming God's friend. Key number one is that you have to get to know God's true character. You have to get to know God's true character, his true heart, who he really is. And how do you do that? You go through his word and you find out who does he say he is. And we're going to be doing that over the next several weeks. We're going to be going through his word and saying, okay, God says he's Jehovah Rapha. What does that mean? God said he's Jehovah Jireh. What does that mean? He says he's El Shaddai. What does that mean? What does that mean for me in my own personal life? You know, we're going to be going through that over the next few weeks. Because it's important for us to understand who God says he is. Because if we're trying to believe for something, if we're trying to believe that God loves us, we have to be able to point to it where in his word it says that. Because we can't just believe something haphazardly. We have to have proof. We have to be able to say, God's already said it. Okay, that's the only way that he's going to bring it to pass is if he's already said it, if he's already promised it to us in his book of promises, in his book of provision for us, the Bible. So we're going to get to know God's true character, and that's going to help us become his friend. It's going to build our ability to trust and believe him, because we'll understand who he really is. Okay, not who the world says he is, not who our pastor says he is, but who God says he is. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. So, believing God and trusting God is a huge part of being a friend of God. And we're also going to spend quality time basking in his presence. That is the other key. That's the other key to becoming a friend of God. The first key is to get to know God's true character. The second key is to spend quality time basking in his presence. Right? Spending quality time with him. Getting to know him through his word, and then getting to know him through his Holy Spirit, becoming a student of his word, and then becoming a student of his Holy Spirit. So those are the two things that this entire course is going to focus on. Getting to know God's true character, getting to know what he's promised us, and releasing our past, and breaking down the walls that have been separating us from God. We're also going to do that, but then we're also going to learn how to spend quality time basking in his presence, how to enter his presence through prayer, how to enter his presence through worship, how to really go deeper in his presence and experience more of what he has to offer. Become a friend of God. God wants to connect with you as much as you want to connect with him. In fact, he wants to connect with you probably more than you even want to connect with him. And a lot of times for us, that's hard to believe because we feel like, you know, why would God want to be bothered with me? You know, I'm just little old me. Why would he even want to be bothered with me? But he does. He loves you. He loves you. I just want that to break down a wall. Just, Lord, just by your spirit, may that just break down a wall in someone's heart today. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. You know, he had me set up this entire course just so you could know that he loves you and he wants to commune and fellowship with you. That's it. That's why he had me set up this entire thing. All of the hours and the work that he's had me do is so that you would know that he loves you. Praise God. I want you to pray this prayer with me to the Lord as we close out this week's lesson. Lord, we glorify you today and we praise you. We thank you that you abide with your people. You said that you will come and that you will make your home with us. And we receive that today. We receive your promise. We choose to believe you at your word today, Lord. We choose to believe you at your word. You know, Satan wants us to feel abandoned. He wants us to feel alone. But right now, in the name of Jesus, I just rebuke that spirit of loneliness. I rebuke that spirit of confusion that Satan has put in the minds of some of your people. Lord, I rebuke that from any of us. And I just, Lord, I ask that you will send your presence into the homes of your children who are reaching out to you, Lord, that you will abide with them throughout the rest of this week, that you would show them how this word applies to their everyday life, how you are their friend and how you are there with them, Lord. I ask that you will make it real, that you will make it real, that they will be able to experience you in a fresh new way, a way that they've never experienced you before, that they will know you more intimately. Hallelujah. That you will just begin, Lord, to just go into their heart, and if they have developed a heart of stone, Lord, that you will return it, hallelujah, to a heart of flesh that is open to you, Lord, that is open to your word, that is able to receive what you have for them, Lord. And I just ask that you will prepare their hearts and minds for the rest of this course, Lord, that you will prepare all of our hearts and minds to receive what you have to say to us, to receive your promises, and to grab hold of them as truth, because they are truth. They are truth and life. Hallelujah. Lord, help us to grab hold of them, to grab hold of your truth, and for it to set us free in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we praise you in advance. We glorify you in advance. And we ask you to give us a fresh revelation of who the Holy Spirit is in our life, as our comforter, as our helper, as our intercessor. Lord, I ask that we will have a fresh revelation of the role of the Holy Spirit in us. And I glorify you, I praise you, and I lift you up, because you are worthy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, I really pray that God will do a special thing in your life this week, that he will begin to mold you and to shape you and to mold and shape your heart, and that he will begin to break down those walls that have been standing in the way of you really believing him at his word, of you really receiving and feeling his love, because he loves you. And you know, I might seem radical, you know, I might seem like this crazy lady on your computer right now, but I don't care if I seem radical to you, because I want you to know that God loves you, that he wants to connect with you in an intimate way, that he wants to have a spiritual romance with you. You know, like I said earlier, the book, the romance novel of your life with God is not over yet. He's still writing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise your name, Lord. I worship you today, Father. I glorify you, and I praise you for what you're going to do in our lives, Lord, for what you're yet doing, how you're changing us, how you're preparing us for these last days that are coming, Lord, how you're building us up with your love, that we will be able to go out and share that love with the people in this world, Lord. Hallelujah. We glorify you, and we praise you, we lift you up. Jesus' name, amen.